You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
According to her attorney, Ghislaine Maxwell answered every single question that she was asked. If true, she will be Epstein'd.
Okay. By the way, text line says Olathe is getting hammered right now.
Olathe? Rain coming down in Olathe?
Rain is coming down.
Okay.
So we talked last hour about birds and bats and, well, the fact that Dana's going to have some extra friends in her chimney
for the next
month and a couple of days. This story is about a mouse, a very famous mouse.
Mickey?
You take your kids to the entertainment establishment known as Chuck E. Cheese. You get some bad pizza, some warm beer.
I saw this.
Some animatronics, maybe a guy in a mouse costume. And maybe while you're there and your kids are playing at the arcade and you're enjoying some of that bad pizza and warm beer, the police come in and say, Chucky, come with me, Chucky.
Oh, really? Good.
This,
did they
out of Tallahassee, Florida.
Of course
Chuck
it's in
Cheese
Florida.
Cheese mascot, in a hilarious way, was arrested out of the Charles Entertainment Cheese joint as the cops walked in and said, Chucky, come with me. TMZ obtained the arrest report, and the Tallahassee Police Department says the man in the costume also had a small amount of marijuana on him. They asked him if he had a medical marijuana license. He said, I was on my way to get one.
He was on his way to get one.
Look at the photo as they're cuffing him. The Chuck E. Cheese head has been detached from the
costume
and is propped up on a squad car.
He was arrested. Fraudulent charges on a debit card to the tune of $105.57. That debit card belonged to a woman who lost it attending a party.
At Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, writes itself.
Gosh.
He had to cough up some dough, seriously, to bail out of the situation.
Did you hear that there is a Chuck E. Cheese for adults launching right here in Kansas City with all of the retro games, alcohol, you mentioned the warm beer, and more? I have nightmares about those animatronics. It was called Billy Bob's Pizza, by the way, when we were in Topeka.
You guys couldn't afford a Chuck E. Cheese?
No, it was called Billy Bob's, and the animatronics were even scarier.
So now this is just called Chuck's.
Yep, Chuck E. Cheese is fully aware of its nostalgic place for adults. While parent company CEC Entertainment still operates children's play locations, it is perhaps even more dedicated fan bases in animatronic-loving 80s and 90s babies. Now the business is fully leaning into that by opening Kansas City's first Chuck's Arcade, a retro version of Chuck E. Cheese that welcomes all ages but caters to adults.
What's the arcade downtown, the
Up-down,
that's right.
88th and State Line Road. It is a former Chuck E. Cheese, but now you can go in as an adult and probably drink better
drinks. Self-respecting adult who was traumatized as a youth with a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. No self-respecting adult is going to walk into a Chuck's.
Oh, I think it's hilarious. Listen to this. They've removed the children's rides. They've removed the vintage, the old kid stuff. No, I don't know about that. Vintage posters and memorabilia have been hung in their place. Televisions around the arcade play glitchy films of decades ago birthday parties. I love this.
So that's right around where I live. We go to those restaurants in that pavilion quite often. It's been open for over a month now, and I've got to be honest with you, I have never seen a person in there.
A truck arrived with a special delivery when they opened a vintage Chuck E. Cheese animatronic made sometime between the early 80s and mid 90s. The bot lives in a glass case, staring out at you, waving. That is the stuff of nightmares.
Okay.
By the way, the arrest in Florida in the middle of a child's birthday party.
Oh, my.
He was standing in the middle of the party, entertaining the children. Not so fast, Mr. Jones.
Mommy, are they taking Chuck E. Cheese?
Yes, they are, dear. Yes, they are.
He also allegedly had done this multiple times in the past.
I love this Chuck E. Cheese. Do you not like the adult? Like, everything old is new again, and I like the idea that, you know, I'd probably do it once. I probably wouldn't do it.
I would love to, I really do need to get, and I've said this for a long time, get down to this Up-Down arcade. I think it's downtown somewhere.
It's so fun.
I would love to play, you know, you can go anywhere and they have a Galaga.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like the most common 80s video game that is still in public displays. I would love to go back and play a handful of games that I remember playing as a kid that are just not available anywhere. Defender would be number one. I loved playing Defender. Tron would be number two.
I believe they do have a Tron machine at the Up-Down.
Do they have a Defender?
Because
that was my favorite game as a kid.
That's one of my favorite spots to go. We go way too often.
Oh. I love it.
Well, next time you're there, will you look? If they have a Defender, I'll definitely go down there.
I'll check it out. You're going to want to go during the day. It is a very young, boozy crowd in the evenings.
You can buy, by the way, parts of that stage. You can buy the miniature Billy Bob animatronic. You can buy Chuck E. Cheese animatronics. There are people that collect these. Here's the Billy Bob. $1,700 or best offer.
Billy Bob looks like
a hillbilly.
A drunk Chuck E. Cheese.
Correct.
In a bear costume.
With stripes. You guys remember this? It was Billy Bob's and then it was Showbiz. It was Showbiz Pizza.
They do have a Dig Dug Yes text line at the Up Down. There's a lot of fun ones. Space Invaders.
Hey, Sam, I don't mean to be inside baseball.
It's
we're getting a bizarre return. Thank you.
Look at that Showbiz Pizza Place comb. You know, if you had like 36,000 tickets, you could get a Showbiz Pizza comb.
Oh, yeah, Joust. That was a great game, Texter. Thank you for the reminder.
See, I'm telling you, Scott, you would love it.
I loved playing Joust.
What about Crazy Taxi?
I don't remember Crazy Taxi.
Oh, it's a good one.
Oh, Q-Bert. I was a Q-Bert
Joust
person.
Joust was fun. A growing body of research suggests that eating bread, pasta, and other grain products may trigger or worsen a wide range of psychological symptoms, including depression, anxiety, and maybe even schizophrenia. Experts are warning that some people could be especially at risk with these mealtime staples quietly sabotaging their brains every time they take a bite. The key culprit, researchers theorize...
Ooh, let me guess. Gluten.
That is correct.
In what... Repeat this again.
This is in bread...
Okay.
Pasta or other grain products, it may trigger or worsen certain psychological symptoms, including depression, anxiety, and maybe even schizophrenia.
It's a real thing. It's the way that we process our flour these days. Cutting gluten out of my life literally changed my life, and I wrote a 10-page paper in high school about how the gluten allergy was a myth.
Oh, wow.
Boy, have I changed.
You didn't used to believe it, and you had it.
I wrote I'm not even kidding you, a 10-page paper. Turns out, by the way, that high school teacher's son had celiacs. I didn't get a very good grade.
I bet you didn't.
But I did write a 10-page paper about how gluten allergies were a myth.
Really?
Now I've got it.
And now tell me, you stopped eating gluten except 2 weeks ago when you did, and you paid for it that Saturday on the toilet.
So it was a Sunday night that I ate an entire pizza because
That's
I was being
right,
lazy.
Sunday.
And when you say paid for it past tense, I am still paying for it.
So when you gave up gluten in your diet, tell me how you feel your life has improved.
Well, there were a lot of digestive symptoms
yes.
that went away.
I'm aware because I've worked with you for a number of years.
Yeah,
listen to
they
this,
were
Sam.
Pretty prominent.
Celiac disease can damage the small intestine, impairing nutrient absorption, which can negatively impact brain function and mood. Gluten can trigger inflammation in the body, potentially affecting the brain and contributing to mental health problems. Gluten may also indirectly affect serotonin, you know, your happy mood regulator.
Yeah.
Gut and brain are closely linked. Gut health can influence mental well-being.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert. But from the research that I have done, the only conclusion that I can come to is the way that we superheat flour, it kills off the protein that helps us digest gluten. Gluten is not the problem. It's only a problem because we don't have the other enzymes necessary to fight and process the gluten. Hmm. That's why, like, I could probably go to Europe right now and eat bread and not have any negative.
Because they do it differently over there, right?
Correct.
Is that what I heard?
It's the way that we process our flour.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana and Parks. Performed by Manfred Mann. Written by Bruce Springsteen. A story here from the New York Post. It is not a glitch in the Matrix. The youngest members of the I generation Is this the generation after Gen Z? Is the I generation? Is that what they're now called?
I thought it was Gen Alpha.
That's what I thought. And then next generation's Gen Beta, and they're just going to keep building. And the youngest members of the I generation are turning to chatbot companions for everything from serious advice to simple entertainment. In the past few years, AI technology has advanced so far to see users have gone straight to machine models for just about anything, and Gen Zers and Alpha are leading the trend. Indeed, a May study by Common Sense Media looked into the social lives of more than 1,000 teenagers and found that a startling 52% of adolescents across the country use chatbots at least once a month for social purposes.
iGen.
What does that mean?
Friends.
Oh, God.
iGen or iGeneration is another name for Gen Z. It is the same years of birth.
Okay.
I guess if you're a Samsung person, you're Gen Z.
Teens who used AI chatbot to exercise social skills said that they practiced conversation starters, how to express their emotions, giving advice, conflict resolution, romantic interactions.
No.
Yes, and yes. And almost 40% of these users applied these skills in real conversations with real people later on.
We talked about the lady in the UK who talked to her chatbot for 8+ hours a day. Her husband lives here in the States, and she would have intimate conversations with her chatbot.
This is not starting to scare you?
I've been scared for a while.
So have I.
That we are all just going to become this blended mush of computer garbage in having conversations with people?
We are losing language.
I am concerned. And if I'm not mistaken, Congress just recently passed a bill that said that states could not put restrictions on AI technology for another 10 years. Now, why? Follow the money, of course.
Well, the conspiracy theorist in me has some thoughts.
Yeah.
It's all part of the plan.
Can't think for yourself if you don't have the words to do it. What is, pray tell, the plan?
Well, we don't have enough time to discuss that.
Well, give me the Reader's Digest version.
Just look around.
No.
Give me the Reader's Digest version.
No free thought. An Orwellian society.
But we do have free thought.
I think we're
dumbing it down.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You look at the number of different words used today compared to 5 years ago, compared to 10 years ago. The English language, I can't even say English, is slowly dying.
Maybe
because
you've been
chatbotted. Exactly.
What is the average number of words in the United States of the average person's vocabulary? And I bet you it's pretty...
That's what I'm talking about. It's dwindling. And the fewer words you have to express your thoughts, the fewer free thoughts that you can have. That is, in the conspiracy theory world,
haven't you ever talked to somebody who, like, I don't know, went to Princeton or something, and they drop a fancy word, and then you go onto your cell phone when you're in the bathroom, and you look it up, and then you say to yourself, I'm going to start using that word. And what happens?
I love learning new words.
You don't. People will say, I'm going to start using that in a sentence, and you don't.
I'm going to give you a new word to learn.
I've got one for you, too.
Okay, hang on.
Lay it on me.
All right. The new word is the amount of words that the average American, and I have the number. Don't look it up, okay. Sam. That the average American can speak, those words in your vocabulary are known as lemmas.
Lemmas.
L-E-M-M-A-S. Lemmas.
So how many lemmas do you have?
Correct. And that is the words in your vocabulary.
Okay, so someone's lemmas could be very, very, very high, and that means you're super, 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 like, well-read, probably intelligent. Or your lemmas could be very, very, very low, which means you grunt a lot.
So according to this, the average American learns, after the age of 20, 6,000 new lemmas that they add to their lemmas.
Okay. 6,000 after the age of 20. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So new words, what you guys were just talking about. Would you care to guess the average number of lemmas the typical American English speaker has in their brain?
I would need to, some sort of baseline for comparison. Like, what does a toddler have? You know, a thousand words?
Well, just, let me look up how many words there are in the English language first.
Oh, good Lord.
How many words?
It's going to be way lower than that.
All right. So in the English language, there are roughly 1 million words. It's estimated because who really knows, right?
The average number that adults use in their vocabulary, in their lemmas, 30,000.
Higher.
Good.
Sam?
Sam?
50.
Lower.
40,000?
It's 42,000 lemmas.
So can you then, well, first of all, how do they know that? But can you then say if the normal person has 42,000 lemmas, if you're really, really, really smart, you use what, 60,000?
52,000 is the higher end for lemmas.
52,000.
Mm-hmm. The lower end, the dum-dums among us, 27,000 lemmas.
That's when you say, how are you doing today?
Aight.
You're like, oh, you need to work on your lemmas. Bless your heart.
And I'm telling you, generationally, it's becoming fewer and fewer because we're not relying on our own brains to come up with what we're saying.
Sam, I have a new word that I shared with Scott. I have not yet shared it with you. I want everyone to use it in a sentence.
What was that word you introduced us to last week?
I'm going to tell you, not today. We're going to have Brian Busby do this as his next buzzword, but not today because there's severe weather.
What was that one last week that was mucus?
We were in the basement, Sam, looking through some of the old documents related to the home. And we found a certificate of achievement from the 1900s. Okay. And
love
it was just, you know, congratulations on your hard work. And it was a recognition with a gold seal on it, recognizing the person for a certification that they had received. And it had something to do with freight.
Okay.
And on the certification was this sentence generally with this word, and it is my new favorite verb. It said, "Dear Mr. So-and-so, I would like to personally commend you for all of your hard work in attaining this important certification. Not only did you obtain the certification, you did so on your own time while holding down a full-time job, while others would be just as happy frittering away their time."
Frittering.
Oh, yeah.
Frittering.
Big fan of frittering.
Away their time. Mm-hmm. We have been laughing about that word for a week. And so anytime you see someone that is delaying.
It's like piddling.
It is frittering.
Yeah.
It is my favorite word. If someone should be working at work and they're over there gossiping at the water cooler,
say. Frittering?
Knock it off with your frittering.
Now, what was that other word that we learned last week that I don't remember anymore?
Like snarge.
Snarge. That's right.
Snarge is not going to be something you use very often unless a plane strikes a bird.
Or you have mucus, large quantities of mucus in your nose.
Yes.
That's also called
now, frittering,
snarge.
We can all use. Do you have a teenager? All they do is fritter.
No, my children are no longer teens.
Put down your phone. Quit with your frittering. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Making us smarter one word at a time.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798.
We should have a Dana and Parks Dumb Dumb Word of the Day. We'll make everybody smarter at the same time.
But nobody will remember the words.
We shall start with frittering. We'll do one word a day.
All right. I'm down.
You get to pick the word tomorrow.
Gladly.
Okay. Don't be frittering.
I won't fritter. I promise. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Before we continue on, Sam thought it would be important to let everyone know the origin of the word frittering.
If we're going to mask ourselves as an educational program, we should at least try to go the extra step. So fritter.
Nobody confuses this program with education.
Well, we're trying. Fritter, in terms of food, means to fry. But in Old English, it is a variation of the term fit, F-I-T-T, which when used in Old English would mean to shred or fragment. That over time transitioned into to fritter.
Fritter.
Or to waste, shred, or squander.
Hmm.
You are frittering.
Okay. That is the Dana and Parks anti-dum-dum word of the day.
F-R-I-T-T-E-R, fritter.
I just feel smarter.
I do too.
Right now.
I like our new moment of education on this program every day. I do think I would like to put it to the board of directors to give the Dana and Parks anti-dum-dum word of the day around the 4:30 hour so that if children are in the car once school starts, they too can be educated.
I second that.
And Scott, you're picking the word tomorrow?
I am. And then, okay. And then you pick on Monday.
Sounds good. And I will always have a backup word ready because you guys probably will stop doing it very soon.
I like the 4:30 anti-dum-dum word of the day.
She will forget come Monday that there is an anti-dum-dum word on the program. Where did you get those new glasses?
Oh, I've had these forever. Lulu's. Oh. I buy all my glasses at Lulu's.
I like them. They're thank charming. Story here from the New York Post. When it comes to New York City dining mom Jamie Boxer does not kid around. The Brooklynite is one in the expanding pack of parents who are proudly restaurant training their kids to eat, drink, be merry, and behave. Strictly sans digital distractions or temper tantrums. Quoting here from mom. I love New York City dining. We have some of the best food in the world, and I want my kids to join me in that love.
Yeah.
If kids learn how to enjoy an outing without their screens at an early age, they'll know how to talk and connect in person as they get older. That's the whole point of going out to eat. Good for her.
Yeah.
I love this idea. Uh-huh. Yep. It is a plague, the paper writes, to preschoolers and up, youngsters who routinely spend countless hours staring at tablets and phones without developing social, mental, and emotional strength.
That's why we have so much ADHD now.
Yep. We have a new lawsuit in the state of Missouri over exceptionally hot tea.
Okay.
Story is by Mike Stunson with the Kansas City Star. A woman has sued owners of a McDonald's in Missouri, alleging she was served exceptionally hot tea that caused severe burns to her legs. The lawsuit was filed this week in the Circuit Court of Taney County. Nicole Lind said she received her tea while in the drive-thru of a McDonald's in Branson back in March of 2023. Lind said she parked to eat her meal. And when she grabbed her beverage, the lid fell off and the drink's contents spilled onto her right leg and hip. She received severe burns as well as scars and an infection in her wounds. The McDonald's customer said that the franchise owners broke their duties when she received the tea that was too hot with a defective lid that was improperly applied. It was so exceptionally hot that it would cause burns and injury if it made contact with the skin. It was unreasonably dangerous during normal and expected use. She is asking for a judgment that the court deems fair and reasonable. I will remind you, for the purpose of this conversation, before you bring up the hot coffee lawsuit, the woman at the center of that lawsuit, there is a documentary called Hot Coffee, received horrifying, do not Google it if you are eating, horrifying injuries that melted the skin off her body near her reproductive organs. So everyone liked to used to say, oh, it's like a hot coffee in McDonald's. That woman suffered life-altering, horrifying burns. I don't know in this case whether she did or not. I want to talk about the hot liquid through the drive-thru. Why are we still doing that?
Because people are buying it.
This happened with the tea that you buy in a Starbucks drive through when you're sick. It's called the what's it called, Sam? I've gotten it a couple times. It's very, very herbal mint. There's a word for it when you're sick and you get this specific tea, kind of. It's at Starbucks, and there was a severe burn a few months ago in our stack, and it was that they handed it to the customer like this with the hand on the cup holder
outstretched over
from
the cup
holder. Top instead of the bottom. Lid fell off and went all over the man in that case.
But what are you
horrifying burns?
What are you saying that fast food restaurants shouldn't be allowed to serve hot drinks through the drive-thru?
I think
that'll cripple Starbucks.
I think the scalding, but their coffee is not scalding hot the way that tea is.
Well, nor is McDonald's is not supposed to be either. I mean, look at their cups now. It says contents may be extremely hot.
Tea at Starbucks.
It's not supposed to exceed like 180 degrees.
That's still pretty hot.
It's called the medicine ball or the cold buster. That's what it's called. But I'm telling you, I've had it before when I am sick, and it is scalding hot. And I So, of course, when you're passing something through a drive-thru, let's say I pass it to you, Scott, because the drive-thru is elevated. I pass it down to you. You're busy. You've got your phone in one hand and you're, you know, whatever. You reach to grab it and you drop it. That's why I don't understand they, from a liability standpoint, why don't they say you have to come inside? We will slide this to you. And then what you do with that when you walk out this door is on you.
Well, but or they could just say we're only going to hand this to you outside of the car. I'm not going to reach if I'm the drive-thru person.
You're
going to
get out.
I'm not reaching. No. I will hand it to you, but you have to grab it from outside the car door.
You're going
to
hate me for this.
What?
Where's the personal responsibility?
Well, and here's something else.
But what if the tea is 1,000 degrees or whatever it is, Sam? Mistakes happen.
But you can't, I mean, you can't have people, especially at a Starbucks. I would guarantee you that the drive-thru business at a Starbucks, at a McDonald's, name your fast food coffee place, a Scooters, whatever. I would guarantee you that, especially in the morning when everybody's trying to get to work, the drive-thru represents more than 95%
of the business
that they get. I mean, if you've ever been to a McDonald's in the morning, or like I was at lunch the other day, I had this craving for McDonald's French fries. What day was that, Sam? Tuesday or something?
It was a day of bad decisions for you.
It was a day of bad decisions. And I got stuck in the drive-thru at the McDonald's by my house because I had this craving for McDonald's fries. And I was in the drive-thru for no less than 20 minutes. Oh. And of course, it was a double lane drive-thru.
Yeah, you're stuck.
And I was on the inside lane. I couldn't get out.
In March, an 82-year-old retiree sued a McDonald's in Mississippi. This is that case. After alleging he suffered second and third degree burns from hot coffee that spilled onto him. And the original hot coffee lawsuit, by the way, was third degree burns, which required skin grafts. I'm only suggesting that it doesn't make a ton of sense to be jostling boiling liquid from a drive-through window down to a car.
Yeah, but I mean, if you order, for example, the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, which is the number three at a McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. I'm a number one kind of girl.
It's so good. So Sam, not a girl, but he's the number one guy. They come with coffee unless you ask to change the drink.
Right. And you don't want lukewarm coffee.
No.
But,
I have gotten coffee at the McDonald's drive-thru, I don't know, probably 200 times in my life. It's the only thing I go to McDonald's for is breakfast. I've never once had an issue. I grabbed the cup with one hand.
But mistakes happen, Sam.
I put my hand on the lid because I don't know if they secured that dang thing. I set it in my cup holder. And I understand that mistakes happen, but why is that on McDonald's or Starbucks?
I'm just saying from a liability standpoint, there have been a string of these lawsuits. I am surprised that they don't say with the tea at Starbucks and the coffee at McDonald's, You gots to come in, or there's got to be a different.
Nobody's going to come in.
There's got to be a different mechanism for the handoff.
Well, okay on number two, but nobody except old men get out of the car and go into a McDonald's for breakfast. It is only old men.
That is accurate.
I know. Nobody is going to say, you know, I didn't get I need another cup of coffee. I'm going to go to McDonald's and get out of my car. Just doesn't happen. By the way, the rain is moving into the metro. When we last saw the radar, there was a split. There was a ton of rain north and some rain to the south. But we're getting reports that those two cells might be combining. And somebody just wrote in, it is pouring buckets out here in Lee's Summit.
A really good friend of mine just wrote, at 103rd and Knoll-ish, it is already flooding. And we're knocking on the door here of rush hour. 103rd and Knoll is already flooding.
Somebody says on the text line, let me go back and find it here real quick. Major flooding on Highway 36 between Cameron and St. Joseph. Okay.
We might take some calls on this. If you're in a safe place and you're seeing this and can call us at 913-586-7798 because we are up against rush hour, what are you seeing? Or if you're a passenger and can call us, let us know the part of town you're in and what you're seeing on the roads.
All right, telephone number she just mentioned, 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I'm going to shift gears here just for a minute because we're starting to see on the text line and friends of ours are texting that it is starting to be, you know, just some dangerous conditions out there on an already saturated earth around town.
Belton getting hammered right now, according to 0208. And yes, that is a meteorological term. Joe on line two. Hello.
Hi, JD. Go ahead.
Oh, JD. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah. No worries. I just came through 103rd. And Nall, and it is, the road is actually buckled. It's not necessarily flooding from rain, but the road is buckled in multiple places between about 102nd and then the 103rd and Nall intersection has a huge buckle in it that people are having to go through. And there's kind of water everywhere coming out of different little holes in the road, actually.
Like a water main break?
Yeah, one of my girlfriends, JD, wondered, she said it was so bad, she wonders if it is a main break of some sort with the rain.
I think it has to be because there were some cars that were pulled on the side that may have just, I think it happened as they were coming through because they were pulled over as if kind of feeling a wreck. We got over it, but it was there were quite a few bumps that were, you know, bigger than a pothole kind of bump that we had to go over. And if I had had a chance, I would have gotten off and gone away. It happened right before we came through it. So, but yeah, lots of little places where there was water coming up in the gutters. You could see it coming up where it actually broke the cement and was coming up through that too. So it's multiple places of some sort of a break.
All right, JD, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. Dan and Shawnee, back to the hot coffee topic. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was calling about it. I'm a dining director for a retirement community, and we have to temp the coffee every day for regulation purposes to make sure that the equipment is correct and that it's not too cold or too hot for the residents.
What is the number, Dan? What is the number of degrees?
So it's the range is 140 to 155 is what it's supposed to be. And above 155, then it's too hot if someone was to spill it on themselves or something like that. Now, if you go to a McDonald's and get the coffee, I can tell right away when I try to drink it, it's so much hotter than that.
Tell me the number again, Dan.
140 to
155. 140 to 155.
Okay, so I'm looking at this, and there's a more detailed breakdown of liquid on the skin. 120 degrees can cause full thickness third-degree burns in 10 minutes. 130 degrees can cause burns in 30 seconds.
And just moments of contact, 150 degrees can cause third degree.
2 seconds can be third degree. And so that's what I think when you look at that Starbucks tea, that I'm telling you it is, I know it is higher than that. I know it is.
Well, and when you buy tea bags, the instructions are to brew them in boiling water, which is 212.
Wow.
I did not know that. Man, we are learning a lot of things on the show today.
I feel so smart adjacent, Dan. Thank you.
All right. Okay. And this story here out of Baltimore, virtual public participation in a Baltimore school board meeting ended abruptly after a pornographic video was played on Tuesday night.
Oh, God.
This is an email from the Baltimore City Public Schools spokesman.
We're still getting Zoom bombed 5 years later, people?
A graphically offensive video was displayed to participants. It is unclear how the video got played during the public comment portion of the meeting, which included pre-recorded videos. The meeting was paused as soon as the video was detected. The meeting was recessed briefly while our team assessed the implications and determined the safest way to proceed. They came back, but the live stream was ended online. So only those in attendance could participate in the school board meeting because someone can't be trusted. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. The news is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.